I'm just going to do it one more time.
That's a tough pill to swallow, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't just, like, you listen, talk about me sucking dick till I'm blue in the face. But the second you say I didn't put fabric softener in.
Talk about you sucking dick till you're blue in the face, or talk about sucking dick till you're blue in the face. Because that's some good dick sucking.
No, until I blow in your face. I think that's how it works.
I think that is.
I don't know.
Are you
going to
explain tonight why Kim is here?
No, let's just make it a surprise.
It's nobody's fucking business.
It's nobody's goddamn business about whether Kim Ambrose is on the show or not.
No, we welcome Kim Ambrose anytime. The only problem is that you laid it on me as to why she's here.
We'll bring it back.
Talk about it.
Okay, welcome to Quality Time, the most quality in time you'll ever have this
brothers.
Week. With brothers. Because we had to.
Because we are not the German version.
Hey, cheers. From afar.
By the way, we're joined by Kimberly Ambrose in studio tonight. Kimberly, hey how's it going?
Hey.
Second appearance on the show, okay?
Two out of two.
Our first guest and also now a recurring guest, which we're excited about.
You and Chris Restivo.
I feel honored. I feel so honored. Other than a bad childhood, there's nothing else that brings us together than this.
Yay!
So I'm really excited about that.
last week, why he was bringing up Germans was because the number one show that's called Quality Time, that's a podcast, is a German-based show called Aufzeiten Quality Time.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we're working hard to beat the Germans now.
Bunch of goddamn Nazis.
We got to take them out, man.
The tradition continues. We're trying to beat the Germans.
But I'm excited, man. We got Kim Ambrose back in the saddle again. She's literally doing shadow boxing right now. You guys can't see this, but she's throwing bows left and right.
I feel like you can't see my power, but it doesn't stop you from feeling it.
And this is the first time I've seen her in cornrows in her hair.
I wanted to look nice for both my mom and you today.
Do we have all the stools removed from the area just in case she falls down?
There's so many stools in here.
All of them.
We have a jam-packed show tonight. Obviously, I went overseas to go do the murder mystery with a couple of our comedy buddies
For the military,
for the troops. It was mad legit, yo.
Nice.
But Kimberly, while we were away, because Kimberly didn't get to go on this production
Not
for Die
this
Laughing.
One. Maybe the next
Maybe
one.
The
I get
next
to go.
One. By the way, the replacement for you was so good.
I know. Fuck her. Oh my god, I hate her. Whatever.
She really. All right. Truthfully, it was this lady named Carrie. She won the funniest on bass, and
awesome.
We were like, we should get her to be Mama July. And honestly, when I say that she won funniest on bass, she won it by like a million points.
No
she
shit.
Crushed it, and she was like, we're like, okay. Tommy was like, straight up, he goes, all right, game recognizes game. We get it. You do stand up. She's like, no, I swear to God, I've never done it before. And she fucking crushed.
I gotta say, I'm not one to point out lady love that often, but I give credit where credit is due. If you're in a world of men, which the military is the most paternal thing you can be a part of, and you are a female and you win funniest, dude, that's awesome.
And it wasn't even close. Like, it was by a landslide.
A slippery
Although,
landslide.
She did not have the funniest joke. The funniest joke was this this guy named Steven. We called him Steven Nips. Stevie Nips. Because he had pointy-ass nippies. But he was this kind of... he's a good guy, Air Force gentleman, and he had this one joke that he told offstage. He had a couple really good onstage jokes.
This was the sidebar one.
He was an edgier guy from the rest of them and knew what he was doing. Like, he was like, all right, this is a joke, and this is why it's funny. And I was like, yes, you are very logical, right? But he said, I had this one joke I couldn't do, which was, you know, with the United Airlines thing, it's so horrible. They pulled that guy off of the plane and everything. I mean, their customer service has gone really down. Just think, about 15 years ago, they'd fly you right to your office building. God damn it. That was probably.
I can see why he couldn't do it. I can see that.
I guess 9/11's a touchy subject on base.
On base, yeah. In a bar in Baltimore, go ahead. But yeah,
sidebar Monday nights, holla.
That's really funny.
But Kim, while we were away, you went and hung out with Jim Norton?
I did.
The Jim Norton?
The Jim Norton.
Opie and Jim show?
Yep. I was just as surprised and taken aback as you are.
So tell me, how did you get to... you went to go see him in New York. How do you get to this meeting in New York?
So I work at Magoobie's Joke House. Mm-hmm. I take tickets and I seat people. It's cool because I get to boss people around on a minor level. So that's really good for me.
Can I ask a real quick question?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Justin Jones still working there?
He's not. And I saw him the other week at Judge's Bench in Ellicott City. And I was like, why the fuck don't you work there anymore?
He works at Spencer's.
I don't see how that's an upgrade, but...
He really knows his dildos now.
Yeah. Him and me both.
Okay. Sorry for the sidetrack.
Okay. Yeah. So I wished he worked there still. But Jim Norton came to town. And I make it a point whenever headliners, whoever they are, whenever they come in, that I introduce myself and I say, what can I get you? What can I get? Whatever you need, I'm fucking on it. You need water, you need coffee. And usually, surprisingly, a lot of them show up like right before they have to go on stage. So it's usually a rushed situation. So I try to take care of my babies. Take care of my babies.
Has anybody been a dick about it?
Not to me, but nice. Somebody was there recently that one of the managers was like, yeah, fuck him. And I was like, no shit.
Damn, why would they say that about Matt Brown? That's so rude. That's so rude.
He's such a diva.
Right?
He's like, if the whole room isn't painted in glue and then covered in weed, I can't. I can't and I will not.
It was probably James Finn.
Yeah, James Finn, that fucker.
Fucking diva.
And the streak continues of mentioning James Finn on the show every episode.
Bing! Nice.
There goes the counter.
So, I was taking care of my boy, Mr. Norton, and just, like, getting him coffee and talking to him. And he was talking to me, and he's very approachable. Like, he's very nice. Mm-hmm. And he said, by the end of the weekend, he was like, you should come hang out. You should come hang out in New York. And I was like, Jim Norton just asked me to hang out at the Comedy Cellar. Guess what the fuck is about to happen? Like, appointments got moved apart like the Red Sea. Like, fuck it, I'm going. So I fucking took a bus. He offered to pay for me to go up, and I will not allow that. Mm-hmm. So I paid for my own ticket.
Because you're a strong, independent
woman.
Dude, I can't. I refuse to.
It's not even that. It's like I'm so fucking stubborn, and like the awkwardness of having anybody pay for me for anything. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like, hey, I'll pick up your beer. Like, hey, I'll get your whatever. That's fine. But like, dude, no, I got that. You're doing enough by being Jim Norton and taking me to the Comedy Cellar. I fucking got it. So I go and like, he invites me up to his place. We hang out. We start talking. He's like, you can take your shoes off. And I feel like a fucking asshole because I'm like, I just walked into a $12 million apartment in legitimately Dr. Martin's boots.
Right.
Like, so disrespectful. Like, I anarchied all over his beautiful white carpet. Like, it was in a fucking appropriate. So I'm like, oh, I'm a fucking asshole.
Good
like,
job, Rick James.
Yeah, right? Fuck your couch, right?
Fuck your alpaca rug.
Right. Fuck Home Goods. So we're talking, and he's like, what size shoe do you wear? And I'm like, right? And I've seen the specials, but I'm like, dude, I don't fucking know. Like, I'm not going to sit here and assume, right? Comedians are weird. Can we just agree? Comedians are fucking weird people.
I roomed with Tommy Cimbazzo for,
oh my God,
for like 5 days. And yes, they're weird people. We are a weird, we're a weird bunch.
Yeah. Things got put in places that things should not have been. And yeah, we're weird. So I'm like, whatever, man. So my response was, is there a number?
So do you feel uncomfortable when he asks you to remove your... At first you're like, all right, he's asking me to remove my shoes because it's his house.
It's his house.
Like
I didn't
that,
take
right
my
that.
Fucking shoes
but,
off.
But what part do you think, I was like, is it as you're unlacing or when you fully take it off, you're like, oh, this is his
Here's
weird,
the thing.
This is his weird fetish.
Here's the thing.
This is, when do you realize it's a fetish? And not because he's
Here's
a clean
the deal.
Person.
I'm a smart bitch. I know what's going on. But there's also that fair, like, all right, fair. The side of me that's like, dude, I don't fucking care. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, if this dude is about to get weird on my feet, if a dick comes out, it's officially at oh fuck levels. But if a dick doesn't come out, then it's like, maybe dude just wanted to handle some feet today. Like, he's getting on stage. Who am I to say that's not a ritual?
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I'm all for, like, granted, I am a very large, obese man. But if they, let's say,
excuse
like...
Excuse me, you're a beautifully large, obese man.
Thank you, BBW. Okay. BBM. But, like, if there was some dude who was just, like, you know, if he was just really into my hands, he was like, man, you got really sexy hands, I'd be like... Well, thank you. I don't want to see your penis, but you know what? Hey, if you're putting this in your fantasy file for later,
sure.
I'm okay with that, right?
Dude, never once in my life have I been lavished with compliments about my feet. Never. Dude, I even said to him, he goes, what size shoe do you wear? And I said, is there a number for too big? And he was like, no. And I was like, yeah, right? And I go, no, dude, seriously, like, what's the number for, like, you have skis on the bottom of your ankles? Like, I just have long fucking feet.
Yeah, as soon as you have king-size Tootsie Roll finger, right. like toes, that's a crossing
These
line,
are not
right?
fun-size feet. These are not fun-size feet.
You got sloth hoofs.
I got sloth hoofs. Yeah. Like, if you were going to put me in those pants that you put on to make somebody look like the devil... Like the
right,
the goat feet. You'd have to get me really tall hooves because it would just there'd be this extra angle where my heel is in the goat fur, right? So, dude, I feel like I'm coming in strong right now on quality time.
Yeah, you are coming in hard right
coming
now.
Coming in hoard.
Coming in hot.
Real hoard. Okay.
So what is you peel them off.
So I peel them suckers out.
What kind of socks you wear?
One of them is Hello Kitty. And I said to him, I said, why the long face, Hello Kitty? And the other one is Stripes, which I don't think the movie Stripes is as long as my foot is in a thing of striped
so what's it,
socks.
So are you looking for his reaction, or you're not trying to make eye contact during this time? He pulls it off and is like, he slips, as you're slipping off, you're looking for his reaction, like, maybe he's going to think these are nice feet.
Kind of, but at the same time, I am 110% out of my fucking element. I am out of my element. He has almost a 360 degree view of New York City in this what has to be at least a $20 million apartment, okay?
Right.
Like, at least. So I'm sitting here getting my feet rubbed by Jim Norton.
So he goes right to foot rub?
No, because he goes, I said, is there a number for too long? He's like, no. I said, seriously, I got some skis. And I was like, look, Hello Kitty, why the long face, right? He goes, all right, you've built it up. Let me see him. Right? Like, this is my doing. He goes, let me see him. And I'm like, dude, I'm game. I came here on a fucking bus. I'm down for whatever.
All right.
So I take my shoes off. I take my socks off. And he's like, oh, no, these are nice feet. I was like, dude, you're lying. They look like Nosferatu's fucking hands. Are you kidding me?
You have not seen my feet. Mine look like Nosferatu.
Fair. Yes. Fair enough. If Nosferatu spent a year in a cave, no doubt.
Yes. Jeremy's look like if you had put them in a bathtub filled with acetone for a week,
like,
and
the
then
end,
removed it.
The end of every Vincent Price movie.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Like, it's called The Feet Survived.
So he gave you a foot rub.
So we're talking, and he starts rubbing my foot, and he's like, man, you got nice feet. Like, these are very soft. And I was like, dude, never in all my fucking days. Never.
at what part did he get up to change his underpants? That's my next question.
Well, at this point, I just can't, like, I'm looking at the fucking skyline and I'm like, dude, you can literally see weather coming. Like, this yeah. skyline is incredible. So I'm like, excuse me, sorry. I'm literally distracted. Like, he's rubbing my feet. That's overwhelming because, not because of what's happening, but because he's him and I'm at where I'm at. I get off of a bus. I'm at Port Authority. I walk outside. I take a cab. I get out of that cab. I'm in Jim Norton's apartment building. I get out of that lobby. I go up an elevator. He answers the door. And 10 minutes later, Jim Norton is rubbing my feet. My mind is like, like, I can't even handle this. And then I'm in this swank ass place where I'm like, my shoes don't even belong in here, let alone being told to be taken off. So, like, I'm just kind of flabber fucking gassed. So then I was like, I talked about me doing massage when I was working at Magoobie. So I was like, dude, trade these, right? You're being nice to me. turn that shit around. Let me work on that crooked ass back you got walking around with. Yeah. He goes, no, no, no. No, no, no. Time to go to Cellar.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right. All right. Let's go to Cellar. Robert Kelly was there. Judah Friedlander walked in. I'm like, ba 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 ba.
Oh my God, all these famous people.
Yeah.
Okay. I got scared because I thought go to Cellar means he's putting your feet in his mouth.
No, that's sorry. Yes, go down to the fruit cellar where sweet Henrietta lives. Right.
Oh no, that's what they call.
Just want to put the tip in my mouth.
No, when you do that, it's called the amontillado. Oh, we're nice. Classy about it.
How long was the foot rub? I want a duration.
It was totally conversational. It was like 4 minutes, maybe six at best.
He's that charming. You didn't even you felt no discomfort. You were just like, God damn it, this guy gets a good fucking foot rub.
First of all, who the fuck am I? Who the fuck am I? You think I'm gonna sit in Jim Norton's $1 million apartment and be like, that makes me uncomfortable?
I mean,
no.
You're Kim Ambrose, 2-time guest on Quality Time. I don't wanna toot your horn.
And 1-time winner of the Magoobies of the Year comedian contest. Not the whole contest, just one of the
weeks.
And High Top High Tops winner as well.
And a High Tops winner and a co-headliner at High Tops. So
important member of Die Laughing Productions.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of foot rubs to get to the top.
We'll see. We'll see, Jeremy.
So that was cool. See,
I like how you introduced the troops, but no, let's save that for later. We need to first discuss.
I needed the Jim Norton story up top.
So
I needed that.
When I texted Tommy, who clearly openly has a foot fetish, because whenever something happens with feet, I think of Thomas. So I messaged him and I was like, guess who got their feet rubbed by Jim Norton? And he wrote, okay.
By the way, when you texted that, Tommy was rubbing my feet, which is weird. We were
kismet. Kismet. It's in the stars.
Yeah, we immediately heard that, and we're like, God damn it, we're stuck over here in Jordan right now, sitting in a goddamn death zone. By the way, we found this on the internet. I'm trying to text this to Tommy right now.
Oh my god! Can you send me that picture?
Yeah.
Guess who I'm gonna send that to?
Explain this. Can you explain that to our listeners? What I just showed you.
Let me paint you a visual, okay? What I want you to do is whatever you're doing, just fucking stop. Okay. Step one, just fucking stop. Take a breath. I'm gonna need you to start there. I want you
let out that bong rip that you've been holding in for a solid 30 count.
As the air exhales, I want just black paint to run on the interior of your mind so that all you see is openness. You're just open right now. Okay. Okay, and then I want you to picture a foot, a nice foot, a nice looking, well-groomed, the second toe, not too long.
No.
Also, not too thin and bony.
Not perfect, though. So
not
you know
perfect.
So you know it looks real.
There's some human element here, which I appreciate. A little bit of veins, a little veiny, a little structure, right? Now, I want you to, I know this is disturbing, but cut it off at the ankle. No blood, no bone, tut, tut, tut. Just a nice, clean sever. At the top of that, shall we call it a plateau?
Yeah.
Of the ankle.
Platform.
Flat, a platform. Just picture a gaping vagina. And that's what the fuck I'm looking at. It's a vagina with a very well-crafted clitoral hood. And they have the labes, I like to say, splayed open. So that you can see a bit of darkness, which I think is very inviting. And it goes into the ankle part. So it's kind of like, okay, you could turn it so that if you really shoved it on, the toes would tickle your taint. If you held it backwards.
I feel like the L shape would be really good for cranking on yourself as you're fucking this weird foot vagina.
If you have a turn in your dick, this is the product for you, sir.
It's really hard to look at for me. Ugh.
But you keep doing it.
Other people that have bought this product, Ed Gein and Albert Fish.
Dude, bought, fucking invented. Wow.
Wow, so that's that. I'm trying to send that to Tommy down here, but I get down in the dungeon studios of the Woodworth Abyss. Mm. I don't get the greatest reception.
So you guys fucking had an awesome time,
dude. I went to Jordan to do 3 nights of comedy. Mm. Played for an Air Force base that's right outside of basically 100 miles from the border to Iraq and 50 miles from the border of Syria.
That's awesome.
And it's an Air Force base out there that everybody knows about, but you're not supposed to talk about. So we went there. Night one, pretty fun. We flew in. By the way, traveling with comedians is the only way to go. Yeah. All the time. I don't want to get too much into other people's stories and experiences. Tommy opted to watch a French movie.
He told me about this.
Bryce 3. Mm-hmm. Not Bryce 1 or 2. Mm-mm. And Bryce 3 is he's known as Bryce the Nice or Brice the Nice.
Brice the Nice.
Brice the Nice. And he's basically the Ernest of, like, Ernest Goes to Camp of, like, French movies. So he's like a character. He's like Medea, but for French people,
if you will.
Now, my favorite thing
he's
is
black.
That, yes, he's very, no, he's like a white surfer dude. I did not watch the movie, although he's really been pushing this whole Bryce the Nice thing ever since he's watched it.
Yes.
So anytime he met another French person or Parisian, he would immediately bring up, "Oh yeah, you're from France. You speak English?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Hey, have you seen Bryce 3 yet?" Immediately.
And they're so, like, okay.
This whole flight back, he sat next to this one lady who's clearly doesn't speak any English, is completely French. And then the guy next to her speaks like English and French. His translator, he's like, "Hey, have you seen Bryce 3 yet?" He's like, "It's on the plane. You could watch it right now." She's like, "Oh, no, it's not that great. Like, it's not that good." Yeah. She was just like, "Oh, well," she was like, "Have you seen Bryce 1 at least?" He was like, "Yeah, I didn't really, you know, it wasn't really for me." He's like, "Really? I thought it was a great film. It's very big stateside." And he's just, he's building up Bryce.
It would be like if somebody who is from like South Africa, they had a thick accent, was like, "Oh, you're American. Have you seen Mr. Bean?"
Have you seen, like, Mr.
Yeah,
Bean?
Yeah, I have. What about it?
Listen, we will not talk poorly about Roland Atkinson in this house.
No, never, never. I'm just saying it would be like that.
But the funniest part is, I guess she was watching some video, like she was watching music videos or something, and so Tommy peeps over at her little iPad, and Bryce was in the video. She's like, like that. She's like, no, I wasn't watching Bryce at all.
Gotcha, bitch.
By the way, I suckered Mom into watching Chappie tonight.
Oh, I Am Chappie?
Yes.
Chappie.
Just for D'Antwoord, yes.
Oh, so. Man, Chappie is Jeremy's favorite D'Antwoord movie.
Oh, I explained too much to her. It's like, "Oh, yeah, they're the biggest rap stars in South Africa. Hell yeah."
And she's like, "Okay.
I'll go with it, Jeremy. Thank you." Like, the first night we were there, we stayed in a very lavish hotel. It was very nice. We went out to go on a... We got real drunk night one we get there. The guys from the base picked us up. We bought a couple of bottles. Rob turned up so much that he threw up everywhere.
I've never seen Rob at this level.
Never. I've never seen Rob that drunk ever in my life.
Papa Bear?
Yeah, he got hammer time. And we had to go on a hike that was strenuous. They were like, "Hey, we're about to take you on a big hike tomorrow." I'm like, "Okay, well, I'll drink a little bit of water, right, and we'll go at this." So it's called Hadi Mujin, or Hadi Mujin is what it's called. And basically, it's a hike that's about 3/4 mile upstream. So, like, a river is flowing, and you go walk in the river toward against nature.
That's
right?
Exactly, you, what being a child of an alcoholic feels.
Yeah. So it's like a slot canyon.
Yeah, it's a
too.
Slot canyon for those travelers amongst us.
Those
it's
that like Zion.
Canyon. Yeah, very very similar to Zion. It feeds into the Dead Sea because it's not too far from the Dead Sea. So we're trekking up this. So as we're getting ready, a couple of little things. One, I brought like a little baggie because I was like, "Oh, we're gonna be in water. I want to bring my cell phone to take pictures. I'll put it in a Ziploc bag, completely like the kind that you zip from the top. It's like a full lock thing, right?"
Yeah.
I showed it to the guy for 1 second. He was just like, "You have any cell phones?" I was like, "Yeah, but I got it, you know, in this." He was like, he gave me the silly child.
Right.
"You think that'll work here?" And I was like, what do you mean?" He was like, "That's not going to work. Listen, we got our guide who's going to show you up there. We'll have him put it in his bag." And I was like, "Okay." So he has like this like waterproof sack that like folds over like 30 times and shit, right, and slings over his thing. And I'm like, "All right, cool." So he took pictures for us the whole time. we get about halfway into this thing and we realize we're not in fucking Kansas anymore. Right. There are like ropes and things that are like attached to things because you have to go like wade through chest deep, and like the only thing that's keeping you from being swept down the river is this rope.
Holy shit.
We get past the first obstacle and a fucking dead bird just comes right floating down there. I'm like, well, this bird can't be, we're dead. We're fucking as good as dead. A bird, it doesn't even have to walk through this. There were some obstacles where you literally have to climb up like rocks with a rope that like rushing water is coming down on you and trying to force you down. And my fat ass that needed help to get like pushed up. Like, I didn't think I was gonna make it through this one part. I needed group help to get up this one part.
You're in the desert. It's not even raining, is it?
It's not raining, but there's a raging river that's coming down here. But my favorite part through this whole thing is, like, I was very gung-ho. Like, you know, I really liked it. I had a lot of fun doing this. Scraped up my knees and stuff. Like, this was my idea of, like, having... Like, this is what I wanted to see when I went there, right? But the whole time, I look over at Rob Mayer, and this motherfucker, it's the worst day of his life. Every second of it. I just look back at him, he's like... God fucking damn! It's fucking right. Longer. Why don't we just go fucking? Why don't we go have like five more things? Like,
you gotta plan your white girl drinking. So... You can't just jump into white girl drinking.
Yeah, it was fun, man. But we made it out, and then you slide down like all the obstacles that you did. You like slide down, and like literally current just brings you and pulls you all the way to the bottom, and you're just like, oh, I hope it lets me fucking go, because I'm like 6 feet underwater getting like pushed under. I'm like, oh, I hope it spits me out here. So there's like wild shit like that. We had a very fun time. So we got on base, and you know, night one we did the funniest on base. We kind of chatted about that earlier, but night two was our straight up stand-up show, and I really I wanted to see if I could do, you know, a little guitar bit. So I didn't want to pack my guitar, but I got on bass and they were like, yeah, we got a guitar. Well, the guitar is in it is in the chapel there. So the lady who's in charge of the guitar is in charge of like all the church services. They call her the church lady. And backstory on that, last time Rob was up here, she made it through about exactly 2 minutes of his jokes and stormed out last time.
What?
Because she was very offended by Rob Mayer, okay?
By Rob Mayer. She has no idea who is standing right next to him.
I know.
Wow.
So, Sergeant Pagan, who's he was the man that showed us around a lot, Sergeant Pagan takes me to the chapel. And the church lady is there, and I know... goddamn well what I'm gonna use this guitar for, and it's nothing but evil, okay? It is 100% evil intentions, okay? And she comes in and she's like, you can't borrow this one, but you can borrow the other one. She's like, so what are you doing with it? I looked her dead in the eye. I just said I'm just singing a little love song. That's it.
Oh my god, you're such a liar. You're such a liar.
I'm just singing a little love song. It's a little, you know, it's got a little huck yuck in it.
All of your songs are love
songs.
At
no point was she like, oh, they're lying.
No.
They came from Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, never put two and two together.
So I immediately go and tell Rob, right? Like, after I get this, I was like, hey, dude, I got this. It's got a giant, like, Christian cross, like, fucking arm strap on it.
Just selling it.
And I was like, Rob, I got the guitar. And she was like, it's from the lady in the chapel, the lady who walked out of your thing. She was like, what did you tell her? I was just like, I told her I was going to sing a little love song. And she was like, you're going to sing the Plastic Fuck Doll song, aren't you? I was like, yep. I was like, it's not a lie.
Now let me guess. You take the strap off. You turn it around so that it all of a sudden is an inverted cross.
No.
You weren't raised right.
Jesus loves my fuck doll song. I know it.
It's about two people who love each other coming together.
The song is, it's like a plastic Mary Magdalene.
I had heard him singing that song for almost 5 years now until I finally found an ad that Judy was the real name of the fuck doll.
No,
I thought
shit.
He just made it up.
I did make it up, but you actually found there's a brand called Judy.
There is a real Judy. Doll.
That doesn't surprise Judy. Me. That's kind of easy.
By the way, check out ericcomedy.com if you'd like to own the song Judy on iTunes. Available at all times. I got that. I did the whole show. And then, of course, the church lady's there. And her only caveat for lending me the thing is that the next night she wanted to be part of the murder mystery.
Okay?
Wow.
She was like, I want to be in the murder mystery, and I want to sing in the murder for the karaoke part.
Okay.
And we were like, I immediately said, I was just like, I was like, you know what? We can make this happen. I told her boldly. I was like, we're going to make this happen for you. And then Pagan is like, in me. He's like, well, really, Rob has to decide. I was like, Sergeant, with all due respect, I think I got this. I got a little bit of sway. Listen, for you and for doing this nice thing for me, I'm going to make sure you're in the murder mystery tomorrow nice. Night. Okay. So she then sees me that night perform the Fuck Doll song, come off stage.
Okay.
I go right up to her and then look her right in the eye. I'm like, so what did you think of the song? Was it pretty good? She's like, well, it was a bit much, but I enjoyed it. I was like, yes, you enjoyed it.
Eric
you liked
Woodworth,
it.
You're a bold son of a bitch.
I was just like, I'll win her back over with my charms.
Oh, my God.
And I did. I
you did, though,
I got her
yeah.
back in. But now
did you get to touch her feet?
Then I massaged her feet
then
and
it wasn't
invited
even
her
worth
to.
It.
And it was, by the way, this lady legitimately looks like, if I were to describe what this church lady looks like, she 100% looks like the someone who owns at least 9 cats. And I mean a solid
like,
9.
Like the church lady, solid, like Dana Carvey is the church lady.
9. No, not that. I mean like long hair, slender.
Unkept.
Unkept. Yeah. About like, yeah.
Really, was it gray or white hair?
Someone who owns the, like all, like she has records, but 90% of them are Fleetwood Mac. Does that make sense? Is that
right? Paul Anka.
Paul Anka.
So I get it. She's okay with a man's fetish because Judy is consenting. Yes. And what she really likes about the Judy song, because she's picturing it in her mind, is exactly what she doesn't like about Rob's stand-up, which I'm guessing interracial couples.
Oh,
she's
it
like
was a different time.
She's like, that plastic doll better be white, or I'm gonna have a fucking problem with this.
Latex comes in one color where I'm from.
Yes, yes.
So she's 100% on board that she's going to be in this murder mystery. And I break the news to Rob. I'm like, listen, to get this guitar, I gave her a part. She's like, the fucking church lady who walked out on me? She hates me. So he gives her a script, right? And then he was like, all right, you know how the murder mystery works. You give them the little script. You read the lines when you're asked, you know, and that's it. She was like, she's reading it over. She was just like, and Paul Abdul. And she goes, don't you mean Paula Abdul? And he was like, no, I mean Paul Abdul. That's the character's name.
She's
like, well, this doesn't make any sense. And you can just see Rob's like, of course it doesn't make any fucking sense. You read the whole script. Like, you just see his mind working. Like it's like, oh my god, like, you just see he's about to snap.
So
on
it's
this
like
lady.
Normal Rob, but he also just was on a plane for 12 hours, got way too drunk, and then climbed up a fucking mountain in a desert. Exactly. He doesn't have time for your bullshit right now.
Exactly. So,
man.
She eventually she's like, I think I'll just stick with the singing. And he was like, thank you, fucking god, thank you.
Oh
so he ended up giving the part to somebody else, but she still got to sing. Pat Benatar,
how'd she do?
It was okay. She didn't win.
Humbleness is a part of serving the Lord. Maybe she didn't want to be too amazing.
Yeah you know what,
you know,
yeah, it's about humbling yourself and your vocal
that
cords.
Annoys the fuck out of me. Have you ever met a religious person who they just won't let the other fucking shoe drop, where they're just like, well, I bought this new shirt, but I got it for on sale. Like, stop apologizing for being alive. The Lord gave you this life. Just fucking celebrate it. Like, I can't with that.
I just got a new promotion at work, so I just started cutting myself.
Right. So I've removed all of my fingernails in thanks for this opportunity.
I learned another thing about Neil Innes the other week. That
Neil Innes from Monty Python,
Monty Python
you met
and the Holy
Neil
Grail,
Innes, yeah.
That he was actually the lead monk that sang the song God is Dead and was hitting himself.
Oh my god, really?
With the board.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, oh Domine.
Yes.
Dona Heis Requiem.
Fuck yeah, for knowing the words, Jeremy.
Of course. It's Latin, but I don't know what it means.
It doesn't matter. It's true in your heart. Which guy is he in Monty Python?
He's also Robin's minstrel who sings the song Brave Sir Robin.
Oh, okay. He's a side guy. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. And, okay. And when Monty Python broke up, he pretty much wrote every single song for the Ruddles.
Oh, okay.
Which you'd think Eric Rydell might have wrote, but Eric Rydell came up to him one day and said, write 12 songs. Write 12 Beatles songs, and Neil Innes did it. And then they did the Ruddles, which was actually a more of an Americanized Monty Python because it was produced through NBC.
Okay.
So
That's good cool. Times.
Hence, you got a lot of Saturday Night Live guys in the broadcast of the thing.
Right, well. Right.
The second he met him, he went on to swim an entire ocean of vaginas.
As you should, sir.
The murder mystery went over great.
Love
they
that.
Loved it.
Love
they loved the big reveal, which I won't give too much away.
Thank
what happens
you.
In Sing for Your Life, but let's just say I find a way to get naked every show.
Everyone.
That's
and
not
this
a
one
secret.
Is a bang.
Yeah, this one's a yeah. big bang, right?
And that's great.
I'm walking around as I am apt to do mm-hmm. in whatever I'm wearing at that point, which is basically whitey tighties. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking around asking people at their tables. This guy comes up to me real excited. He's like, hey, can I take a picture with you? I was like, you bet your sweet ass you can. Anything for the goddamn right? service, you know? He comes up, immediately drops his pants next to me like this. Like,
yes.
I'm like, all right, here it goes. And then the second that picture gets taken, Sergeant Pagan comes up and he's like, we can't do this. He's like, pull your pants back up right now. Pull your pants back up.
Oh, too like, much fun.
And I'm like,
see?
I'm like, me too? He's like, no, you're fine. Rob immediately like has to like double down. He's like, Eric, put your pants back on. Eric, put your pants back on. This is dangerous. You can't walk around.
It's like when
this.
A mom takes her kid aside and she's like, honey, that's okay at our house. But yeah. when we're in these shitty fuckers' house, you can't do stuff like that because they don't like us. So yeah.
Let's put a hood on this Muslim prisoner over here and pick our pants down at the same time.
Right. Decency, people. Decency.
Let's force him to eat a pork sandwich.
So I ruined a base time with my nudity.
Okay.
I had a lot of downtime with Tommy Cimbazzo in a 10x10 room.
Uh-huh. I heard you guys became quick besties.
We were already kind of besties, but then we realized, you know what? Maybe we're best friends in the whole world now. but there was one time where Tommy was sleeping and I could kind of see his butt crack. And you can check out my Facebook page if you'd like to see the evidence. But I was recording Tommy kind of sleeping, and then I realized I was like, oh man, I got a real nasty wet fart. So I ripped a like a level 10 loud fart.
Oh my god.
But the video, like the way I filmed it, looks like Tommy Cimbazzo just moves and just goes like this. So I set him up. I immediately posted it and he
nice.
Was like, that wasn't me, I swear. Immediately type him, sure it wasn't
Yo,
you.
Okay.
The video doesn't lie, Tommy. So
I heard he was so jealous because you pooped like 55 times and he was so backed up.
I don't do anything but poop. I make poop constantly. Like, I don't understand. If I don't poop for a day, I'm calling the police. Like, I'm not a hospital. I'm like, you get out of here.
Someone stole my shit from my body.
I need one of those slip jacks. Just slap it up in me. I need something to clear me out.
I like to think that if you were ever sodomized, you would call it a breaking and entering.
Yeah, he would. Woo, yeah, B&E. The last night we were there, after the murder mystery, we got to see like the meat and potatoes of the we got to go watch all the drones take off, which was dope as
awesome.
Shit. There's like this base has like fucking a shit ton of drones. I don't know how much of this we're allowed to talk about, but
whatever.
We got
man.
To watch them like take off. We got to watch like fighter planes take off in the middle of the night and like see like the fucking jet fuel come out.
Holy
watching
shit.
Watching the drones take off and it's like silent. Like we signed a 500-pound bomb.
I heard it. That's awesome.
And Sean Gabbert did the funniest one. It said Pauly Shore says hi, which was he was the only one wised up that was just like, oh yeah, if this thing doesn't explode, then they have like all of our names like on here to
right.
like be public enemy number one, right? So and
did what did you put on yours?
EricComedy.com.
Nice, because great plug.
Because it's blow it up. but yeah, Tommy signed it on the wrong side because they have this $3 million camera that's at the front of all the drones, right? Mm. And so Tommy signed it on the wrong side. So even the camera couldn't see it right there, and I signed it on the right side. then we went in and we went into basically the trailer where they fly these things at, right? So it's like this basically set up just like a cockpit. You know, he's got his side guy or whatever, co-pilot and pilot sitting side by side, and then there's like eight of us crammed behind him. Like, this is so awesome. Watching him take off and like
8-12 year olds.
Watching him zoom in with the camera so you can see a fucking dog walking like
holy
like from
shit.
Thousands of feet up in the air. Oh, it was so fucking cool. And then we asked them what their call names were, and the one guy was Stark, and the other guy didn't have a call name. And I was like, if I had a call name, it would be Sergeant Beef Swellington. And it crushed in that 8x8 room.
And it crushed.
They were like, and then when Tommy was like, you need to leave, I was like, Sergeant Swellington. And it was fun, man. It was really good. And it was really well received. Like, they were a blast having us there. I ate shawarma for the first time, which cool. Now I can be like, I'm sorry, this shawarma is not nearly as good as the shawarma in Jordan. So that was super cool.
What the hell is shawarma?
It's basically a burrito with goat meat that is pressed like a panini. That's exactly.
Oh my gosh!
Get the fuck out of that. Fucking.
Goats are for having sex with, not for eating.
No, yeah, goats are for eating. They're beautiful, lovely, delicious creatures.
Whatever, you pagan.
I'd eat that.
Okay. Yeah, we went to the Dead Sea, and this is a story that's already been shared on Robin Joe and other places, but it was like a resort kind of area. The Dead Sea is really cool. Like, you get into, like, your armpits, and you just, it's hard to keep your feet on the ground. It just makes you float like this.
That's
and
so
you
cool.
just float around, and it's really fucking cool, and every cut scrape that we got from the day before is just ringing with pain because it's so salty. I decided, I was like, oh, I know how, like, salty the ocean is, right? Like, you know how ocean water kind of tastes, like that saltiness. I was like, right. Oh, let me just check and see what the Dead Sea tastes like. Stuck my tongue in the Dead Sea, okay?
Oh, my God.
The second, all right, like, not
high
even...
High blood pressure immediately.
No. Not even the second that my tongue tasted it, like, I immediately had, like, a gag reflex, like...
Like, oh, that, my,
like,
God.
Like, my body was just like, whatever that is, don't eat it, don't fucking eat it. My body went full red alert, like this. So, like, people are like sitting there and like rubbing like the clay from like under the rocks on their face and stuff like that. And then meanwhile, I'm just going, just spitting into the Dead Sea everywhere. People not freaking out about it. Like, it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste good. Don't eat it. Don't eat the Dead Sea.
Don't eat the ocean, guys. It's not a great idea.
So, but one of the things that people do there on the beach, they have like a little clay pit where people go and get mudded up, right? So it's muddy and minerally. But the second Tommy walks down, and he's just like, damn, that motherfucker's dark as shit. Like, really black. We're like, we get closer, like, oh, there, he's covered in mud. He's completely covered in mud. And it was fun watching. There was this couple. One guy was black and one guy was white. And the white guy muds himself up with his girlfriend there. And Tommy leans in. He's like, do you think they're excited because this is the first time they've ever been the same color? you think he's trying to say the N-word right now and think it's okay? So
momentary solidarity.
That was pretty funny. We also, Tommy and I, mudded up, so we got all mudded up. I didn't do it for like to look more youthful or anything like that. I just felt like I would be invisible to predators for a little bit.
Great thinking.
All right, I thought it was gonna be a better joke, guys, but
the problem with that joke is that it's not a joke. That's fucking serious.
That's trial.
It's fucking serious.
That's mad trial.
You know, you ever find a shoulder cannon in like an Aztec, you know, burial ground?
Mm-hmm.
Keep it.
I want that. I want a shoulder cannon bad. It's been on my goddamn Christmas list for years.
No one is sitting here and saying you don't want a shoulder cannon.
Rest in peace, Dan O'Bannon.
They also had the swolest guys, and I shit you not, like, I've been to beaches.
Yeah,
I've been to California.
I know. That's why I was trying to fucking go. All
right, listen. These goddamn Persian brown-skinned men
beautiful.
You have to understand the body that these guys were walking around with. Kim is trying so hard to get this into the right position. it's about to, like, completely fall off, too.
Yeah.
Give it a... Oh, Jesus.
That's all we had to do.
Oh, God.
We just had to kick it with our foot. Tell me about these Persians. Why did you stop? You were talking about beautiful men.
I don't know. I want you to, like, fix this, because the thing is actually about to fall. Hold on.
It's falling. It's falling.
One of my favorite things in life ever is that one line in Titanic when he goes, women and machinery should never mix. It's That's like my favorite. Thank you, Dad.
And that was the first time he'd ever said it without using the word colored.
Everybody who asked me.
Jesus.
Everybody who asked me.
It was a different time back then. It was a different time.
What standee I'm building, I always say Titanic 2.
Titanic 2, yes. The search for more money.
So.
The lawsuit.
In this one, the bad guy wins.
He spits in her face.
Ooh. So. I shit you not, these Middle Eastern men who are like clearly upper middle class, because if you're hanging at this resort that we were at, this is like the cream of the crop. I counted like four guys who had, I've seen the veins on like biceps, you know, stuff like that. Veins in your abs. Have you ever seen veins in abs before?
No, ew.
I saw veins in fucking abs.
Jesus.
And this guy was just smoking like a, he looked like the end boss from like a Steven Seagal movie. That's the best way to describe him.
Like, you know what I think of when I think of veins and abs? It just makes me think of that guy in Lost, what is it, Fear and Loathing in Translation? Or,
in
oh my
Las
God.
Vegas. In trans- Lost Fear, in Translation.
Yes.
Lost in
Fear
Las Vegas.
Fear and Loathing in Translation. That would be a fucked up movie.
Yeah, it would.
But veins and abs, it makes me think of that guy that's like, hey, you can't park your car here. Like, that doesn't go there. Why is that there? You can't park your car here. That's weird.
He just moves on with his day. I love it. He's like, you can't park here, sir. So, yeah, there's a guy with ab veins. And pretty much the rest of Jordan was a desolate wasteland of despair.
Sounds about right.
That was about it. A lot of people spoke English, which was pretty cool. Tommy, you shat on me for not trying to speak other languages. So, like, when we went to France, like, he would be like, oh, bonjour, merci, merci. I'd be like, and I would just, like, I'd be like, pardonnez-moi, excuse me, can you show me where the laboratory is? So I would, like, ham up being American. And he was like, why are you doing that, man? You're in a different country. Say, you know, do the words that you do know. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be disingenuous, all right? I feel like I'm being not a real person by me trying to speak their language. I want to be me. And if anything, I want to play into their stereotypes they already have about America. I want to make finger guns every time I talk to somebody and go, pow, pow, pow. Yeah, I'm Yosemite Sam every time I talk, right? So, yeah, that's what I did the entire time. I put on a thick Southerner accent.
Garcon, here's a fresh shiny dollar. Fresh shiny dollar for you, garcon.
Hey, you ever seen that Bryce 3 movie? Man, that's funny as hell. You guys like that? That's one of the best movies I ever done seen from France. That and Brotherhood of the Wolf. Two best ones ever. Brotherhood of the Wolf is a great film. If you guys have never seen it, check it out. It's a guy who looks like Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Mark Dacascos from the movie Only the Strong. And they fight werewolf monsters in Revolutionary Time France. It is very worth the
super
price
worth
of admission. It's
super
so
worth
good.
The time you can never get back.
No, you want is. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not being facetious at all. It's a very, very good movie.
Nice.
And that was our trip, man. We made it back in one piece, and I smuggled salt from the Dead Sea out of the country.
Hell yeah.
Which is cool because I wasn't supposed to do that.
Were you going to tell your story about your problems without any cream in your coffee?
Oh, shit. Yes. Okay. So, that's a good one. So, one of the layovers from France on the way there, I stopped at a Starbucks to go get myself a big old coffee. French Starbucks. I pay for it. I go over to the coffee station. Immediately, they have sugars. No creams at all. Like, not even cream available. Like, cream in that. I'm like, oh, well, maybe. I'm thinking, like, I guess this isn't a thing here, right? So I sugar it up a little bit because I like a sweet coffee.
Sure.
That was my first coffee of the day. I can drink black, but I prefer to have a little. I like to have it sweet first and then a bitter one, right?
Yeah.
So I go to lift it up by, like, the top, which I'm apt to do. I immediately. Top falls off of it. I spill it everywhere. And it's a fucking venti, okay? It is a venti full to the brim, burning, scalding hot, pour it all over my pants and my leg. Skin is bubbling off of my, like, flesh is bubbling red on my, like, thing. I'm like, ah! First it was screaming and fuck. I made a scene because I'm yelled because I pour scalding coffee on myself. My God. And then I look around, I'm like, oh, fuck, I just spent like $7 on this fucking coffee.
Yeah.
And now I gotta clean it up. And I look around, and there is no napkinware at all. Napkins are completely gone. And then I'm kind of like standing there like, well, I don't speak the language. Is somebody gonna like, if somebody brings out a mop, I'll clean this thing up. And
right.
I don't know how to convey that to the guy behind the counter who speaks fucking French. And so he's looking at me like, you know, if you want another coffee, just get back in line. So I'm like, oh, fuck, I do want another coffee because I want a fucking coffee. And
yeah.
I have like literally an inch and a half left of coffee at the bottom of this thing. So I get back in line, and now it's a line though. I tried to like cut to the front, and everybody looked at me like, excuse me, dickhead.
Yeah, like, no,
you
not
get a
happening.
Refill of coffee, you get to the fucking back.
Yeah.
I didn't need to understand French to understand that.
Right, right.
The looks.
Hatred is universal.
So I'm soaked, pants burning. I have a huge mess in the corner, and I'm waiting in line now with everybody else who's looking at me at a dickhead, and I realize there's like, I just got abandoned ship. I just left. I just fucking left,
oh,
and I couldn't
man.
Get the coffee. I left with my inch of coffee,
dude,
and
that's
I
what you
soiled
gotta do
everything.
Sometimes. That's what you gotta do.
Pure embarrassment, man.
What I got from the story is how, you know, French people are really rude people, but Americans come back by making a big fucking mess at their Starbucks and don't give a fuck.
Yeah, right. I was right. a big dick. I was a big dick. You know what? I met a lot of dickhead French people. Like, I thought New Jersey was the worst place for white people that are assholes. But no, it's France. It's 100% French people.
Unless you go to French Canada.
I have a lot of...
I don't
of,
know about it, though. I've been to French Canada, but I was too young to experience assholes.
Mm. I have a lot of New Jersey friends. And I've been to New Jersey a lot.
Don't fucking brag.
Are you
going to
like disprove what he was saying or just be like, yeah, and they're total dicks?
But no, if I had a choice, I would name New Jersey New Dundalk.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, yeah, and Sean Gabbert had to get out of the dead ski because his butthole hurt.
I
forgot to mention that.
And I knew exactly what it was while Tommy was telling the story.
He had hemorrhoids.
And the end of the story was... He had hemorrhoids! But the whole time I'm like, yeah, he had fucking hemorrhoids. Like, I experienced it. I get it. I get it, Sean. If you're listening to this, you're not alone. You're not alone. When it comes to itchy, burny buttholes, not. Dude,
hey.
You're not alone.
Oh, you're not a virgin.
That's a great, great ending to anything.
Yeah.
And God, I was so frustrated today. Oh, you're not a virgin. Can you believe I had to go to the bank? Oh, you're not a virgin.
I meant to say butt virgin. Sorry.
The funniest, one of the funniest parts
about that?
Was,
I do a lot of weird things at funny shows.
As Sean got out of the Dead Sea, though, and was, like, scampering off, like a very frolicky motion, Tommy leans into me and just goes, he's like, what have him and Rob been doing this whole time? Like it was butt sex.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, right.
It was a good trip, man, overall. Good trip overall. I'm really happy about it.
Should we segue into the meat Metallica? Should we start a couple months back when the tickets went on sale?
Begin at the beginning.
Okay, yeah. You start us off there, Jeremy.
I just remember that special day and like, oh, Metallica's coming to town.
Mm.
And you send me like a little text or a message like, hey, you want to go to the Metallica concert? I'm like, Sal, I look at the tickets. I'm like, oh, to get on field, $200. Oh, regular upper seats, $100
mm-hmm.
or $80. And I'm at this point really pissed off because I'm still living in the 80s when tickets were only like $20 to $30.
Jeremy is not doing himself justice here. Jeremy comes in, I saw freaking Metallica for $25, and I was like, I was alive back then. You know who headlined after them? Fucking Ozzy. I saw Ozzy right after I saw Metallica with Cliff fucking Burton. Is Cliff fucking Burton going to be there? I don't think so.
I think I went to the Masters of Rock for like $60 where you got Dawkins and Metallica and Faith No More and like Van Halen in the same fucking concert. So
kind of
skipped school
it.
For that. So
man, I get it.
And I was all out of wax, like, fuck them motherfucking bastards. Fucking want so much fucking money for a fucking concert. Oh, you're gonna
there he is.
Oh,
there he is.
Oh, you're gonna pay for it? Oh yeah, that's great.
I'd
that's
love
awesome.
To go.
I'd love right. to go. Yes.
So yeah, I got us tickets to Metallica. We sat up in the nosebleeds in the 500 section, It was, and I had a good plan, too. I called my buddy up in who lives in Fed Hill. I got his parking pass, so I had, like, legit nice street parking spot.
Parked within 1 minute.
Yeah, I parked within 1 minute when I got there, which is unheard of when you go down. Like, I saw his house, and then right across the street, there's a parking lot. I pulled 4-point turn in the middle of busy street and was like, fuck this, I'm getting this now.
Nice.
Only bumped 2 cars about 5 times.
I bumped a couple of cars. That's what's called bumper love. When you got a parallel park in a tight spot, you fit that sucker
AKA
in there.
And if
you got
every day in New York.
If you got to kiss the bumpers a couple times, you're just kissing it. You know, it's what bumpers are for.
Just leaving a little memory.
So we got in there, and immediately we didn't see Volbeat at all. We met up with some of my rugby buddies that were sitting up at Mother's and then walked in. Mm. Caught the end of Avenged Sevenfold, which was very lovely. I could hear them. I stepped outside to just peek and like, huh, that's Avenged Sevenfold. I like their music. That's pretty cool.
Well.
Good to see you, Avenged Sevenfold. And then I walked back out to get drinks some more with my buddies. And concert started. And like I said, we were up in the 500 section, about stage right, looking down at like the side of the stage. So pretty, I wouldn't say great seats, but for nosebleeds, I'd rather sit there than like way back at the back and where you could barely see anything, right? They kick off, you know, Ecstasy of Gold, you know, which is what they start every show with. And they're ready to kick off to the first song, and I immediately kind of look around and like nobody's standing up. I'm like, guys to the left of me and right of me, just want to let you know, we're at a Metallica concert, and sitting is not going to be acceptable at any part here. I'm going to let you know I'm going to stand the whole time, mm-hmm. and that if you have a problem with that, I'm going to stand the whole time.
Yeah. We're at Metallica. You can fuck yourself.
The tickets were $100 a piece. But I can honestly say that I felt like I got my money's worth for this concert because it was fucking awesome. Like,
would you have felt the same
Jeremy?
Way if you spent $2?
When I finally got there, I was willing to pay the extra $100 to go out on the field because I could see all the mosh pits like this forming.
That's always cool. How I feel. Like whenever I'm like worried about money, if it's something I really care about, it's always like, dude, just spend the extra money. Like, fuck it. It doesn't come back to you. Like, you're going to have this memory forever. Unless you get Alzheimer's. But up to that point, so worth it.
Then it is ripped from you.
Yeah.
And then I'll make Jeremy come. When I get Alzheimer's, Jeremy's going to come to the home where I'm at. And then, very much like The Notebook, relive the story of the Metallica concert we went 2 years ago.
Okay, like, but you're not allowed to say it like that. Because you said, I'm going to make Jeremy come. And I'm like, don't.
Yeah.
And
well,
then the story
wait,
ends.
You have Alzheimer's? Is that what Alzheimer's is?
We're brothers. So...
Brothers for life.
It's pretty much like masturbation.
I'm jerking off vicariously through you.
Yeah, it's like fucking myself in the ass.
It's like when you're like, what'd you do today, brah? And they're like, jerked off, and you're like, oh, I feel relieved.
The one thing you notice is that James goes to the forefront of the little mini outcrop stage when they play Moth to the Flame, which is... a big giant thing of fire going through the stage. It's
they had this mob.
Where's
this
James
going to
be this?
Just...
away from fire as humanly possible so that we don't set him on fire again like we did 20 years ago. So.
Do you think James Hetfield ever met Michael Jackson and they commiserated over being lit on fire?
You remember when you were set on fire on stage? I was set on fire on stage as well. And then I had sex with small children. So. I could imagine that.
That's really cool, man. I'm clean and sober. I've been clean and sober now for 12 years. I haven't fucked kids in years.
Cool, tight.
I left the Illuminati where we don't fuck kids anymore. It's great. You should join us.
That'd be so awful if they ganged up and made music tonight. Now, Ja Rule, if Ja Rule and Metallica made music, that would probably be the best music ever.
Jeremy only yelled out a couple of inappropriate things like, play some goddamn sticks! and Mix Max, in between, before Metallica came out, Mix Master Mike from Beastie Boys is mixing up some metal. And Jeremy says, put this faggot music off! And the crowd erupts. He was just like, die! We don't want to hear rap with our metal! Like that.
I do believe saying something like, I wish he would die now, kill him now.
Yeah.
And I got the greatest compliment because the guy right behind me says, can I just take you anywhere and you just scream whatever is
what I'm thinking,
pretty much exactly what is in my heart. Warned my
I was gonna say that sounds like you sound like a service. Like, could I take you to any family gathering I have and you just cut it loose? Like, as soon as somebody says some dumb shit, just be like, no one fucking cares, Sharon.
Yes. 100%. That's what he's there for.
You can't kick him out, Dad. This is why I brought him here.
He is paid. So.
Yeah.
No, I definitely was rip-roaring drunk like I haven't been rip-roaring drunk. And thank God to Eric's rich rugby friends who kept the beers flowing like like wine.
Oh yeah, and I think we got like 2 free rounds from them, and I didn't get the chance to repay them at all because the concert started. I was like, well, see you later, guys.
Don't you but love
I
w- that though?
But I would have.
Yes.
Don't you love that? I hate when people keep tabs. Like, I hate, like, if you go to a restaurant, I don't like it when everybody's like, let's just split it even. Like, no, you ordered a fucking $20 thing. Let's not split it even. But if it's a bar situation, there's no food involved. Just who gives
around.
A fuck? Right, I'll
buy
get everybody. Somebody's going to get from it. Doesn't. Oh.
I was spending my gas money at this Metallica show where I'm really hurting ever since March. But what did you come up to me in the urinal and say? Like, I was pissing at the urinal, up to me.
Jeremy was in the urinal, and I snuck up on him, and there's all the urinals are open, so I chose the one right next to him. And Jeremy's, like, very straightforward, like, don't make eye contact, we're at the urinal. I was like, I rubbed his shoulder, got up next to him, unzipped him, and went, hey, nice cock, like that. And then Jeremy proceeded to screaming obscenities.
I returned the favor in the top of my lungs in this nice echoey bathroom, stop looking at my dick!
Which made
I was
awkward.
Rip-roaring. I don't get drunk that often, real drunk, where you are an obnoxious, loud drunk.
I gotta say, I'm one of the few people on this planet, and I shouldn't be, but I'm one of the few people who is not absolutely terrified of you. And that, I gotta say, the idea of that is really scary. Like, you two fucked up at a metal concert? Like, that's, wow, that's kind of poking the bear.
Yeah, Eric had to call me out after leaving the 7-Eleven because I was already fucking with people in line. I was like, "Did you enjoy the Poison concert?
Yeah,
did you, it was your favorite when they sang Talk Dirty to Me? This poor like 25-year-old schlub looking at me like, how fucked up are you, dude?
How much sugar did you get poured on you?
Right on you. And I'm loud coming out of the 7-Eleven, and Eric's like, okay, there's cops around.
Right.
Fucking calm it down, motherfucker.
Like, yeah, you can upset anybody except people who could fuck our whole day up tomorrow.
You're going to get a crazy stamp, and they're going to send you back to the loon bin.
So, you know, when I leave the bathroom, I'm, of course, going, yay, everybody have a good time in the bathroom. Yeah! It was a good time.
I will say that our section wasn't particularly rowdy because we tried to start multiple chants that nobody would join in with us. We kept trying to start there was a guy behind us trying to start a welcome home chant for Metallica. We were like, our section could do this. Guys, next time we can do this. I gave him a pep talk. I was like, I got it. Our section's on point. I have the gift of gab. I'm charming. I kept saying, I'm charming. I'm just saying, you better fucking chant for this shit, right? In actuality, that's what's happening, right? You better fucking cheer for this. So we couldn't get that started. But when they came back out for their encore, they played Battery, which is probably one of the most metal fucking songs in the whole world. And me and Jeremy just started fucking punching each other for like a straight minute. And people were like starting to clear around, like, okay, these big fucking Goliaths over here having
dude,
a punch
but
fest.
Come on. We're at Metallica.
The
like,
few people in the upper rows that try to start their own mosh pit. So,
yes, yes. We'll start a mosh pit on the stairs here. And it was a great idea.
And start fucking fires.
But it was awesome. I screamed at the top of my lungs for like an hour straight. They fucking crushed it. It was a great live show. Everything, visuals for every song was just on point. Like,
love
everything
that.
Was just great. Definitely,
you know,
worth the dough.
You know what a lot of people say?
What's that?
They say, you know, I only go to the Metallica concerts for their newer music.
What are you even talking
nobody
about?
Ever ever
oh yeah, I definitely got a big look. I was just like, play Unforgiven 2 right after that. And one guy looks like, no, Unforgiven 3. He like, it's just like, nobody really asks for that,
right?
So play Saint Anger. That's
it was
a real
fun because like when I got on Facebook like yesterday to promote the shit show, or the day before yesterday, all the white trash relatives just came out of the world, like, going to Metallica. Like, yeah, you are. Yeah, you fucking are. And they got those, like, ugh faces on. Like, ugh. Like, yeah, dude, if you zoomed the camera out, you'd see the multi levels of suburbanite that these people have become. You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking giving, like, the devil right. horns next to their minivan, like, going to Metallica. Ew. Fucking getting it, bruh.
I got, look at my stick figures. They're all the members of Metallica on the back right here.
Yeah, only family. That's this my little, only family.
This one in the crib is Cliff Burton because he's the littlest and deadest one. That was my miscarriage. It's Cliff Burton.
R.I.P. though.
I stopped listening to Metallica after Randy Rhoads died. So
damn it, Jeremy. That's very insider music
I know,
right there.
So
well, that's it. I think that's our show, guys. Another wonderful episode down, right?
This was a lot. There's a lot to this
We
one.
Could have given a lot more.
We could have given a lot more. But that's where we leave people so that next week when they tune in, they have to be like, oh, Kimmy, this is a fucking quality time again. I'm not really sure. I barely got enough last episode. That's how you keep them coming back like crack cocaine did back in the 80s.
I mean, dude, we have things to talk about. I work at a funeral home. I do murder mysteries with you.
Oh, we're
local stand-up.
Kim, we're going to keep bringing Kim back
we
as long as she's willing to keep coming on.
That we want to talk about.
Yes, absolutely.
I will, too.
I'm going to try to get more of those celebrity stories. Jeremy, you're coming hard with the celebrity stories, although none of them touch your feet.
I can't wait to see who rubbed your foot again.
Here. I don't love that it's over, but I love that this is happening.
That's it, man. Kim, where can people find you at?
Watch me doing this on Twitter. I'm at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. You can find me just at Autobar every month with the second Saturday shit show. We're going to talk more about that in the future. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, and Jeremy, you can't find him anywhere. You can find him looking through your dumpster.
I have no... I
everything
have
else.
No, I have nothing.
Good for
I
you,
have
man.
No talent and nothing to promote.
You go, girl.
Except Pogo the Clown.
And find everything else on ericcomedy.com. Thank you guys and have a wonderful night.
I wish I was a spaceman, fastest guy alive.
Hey.
I'd fly you around the universe in Fireball XL5. Way out in space together, conquers of the sky. My heart would be a fireball.
This is what every dad in the 50s came down steps into. Hey, kids. Get those arm slices in you? Great work.
This is just like Rocket Man by Elton John. It means that he's gay. Because he's a fireball.
Hey, honey. No, I won't please you sexually. You keep being obedient now.
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Boo. Like.